It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Earn 5-Star Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Voles, site manager, emperor, supreme warlord, and defender of the faith over at onefootdown.com. And joining me tonight is the commissioner, Jude Seymour. The chief inspector is mulched out. Jude.
Mulched.
Mulched out. Jude, you've heard people complain about small talk, right? Like people talk about small talk. They talk about about the weather, right?
Yeah, of course.
Why is that bad? Why do people consider weather small talk when weather is the single biggest driving force behind our society? Like, in the single thing, like if something crazy goes on in the weather, everybody's talking about it. Why is that small talk? Why is that considered small talk when weather is such an effective force on all of us? Explain to me that.
Well, here's what I would say. I don't really love talking about the weather, because the weather is something that I cannot control. The weather just exists whether I want it to.
But don't you want to bitch about the weather? I think the weather's easy to bitch at because weather's mom. You ain't talking to weather's mom or weather's aunt or weather's neighbor. Like, you're talking about the weather, like that motherfucker there. Like, you're not even talking about like weather's friendly immigrant friend. Like, if you bitched about Russia, yet you're talking to someone like, oh shit, you're from fucking you're from Moscow, I'm sorry. Like, you don't have to worry about any of that. Like, if you want to bitch about the weather, and most people will, like in Ohio, people will bitch in December that it's cold, and I tell them, you know, move.
Right. Well, that's actually one thing, you know, that always mystifies me, is when people complain endlessly about the climate of the place that they chose to live in. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, I live in the North Country in New York, right? Get a ton of snow, cold weather. You know, I chose to live in upstate New York, right? I could live other places, but having said that, I chose to live here, and I've accepted my fate that I'm going to have to use a snowblower, be cold outside for, you know, several months of the year. Like,
right, but having said that, don't you have experiences though? Like, it's not really like bitching about the climate you're in, but it's like, okay, so this just happened to me. We had a shit ton of rain, right? Like, ungodly amount of rain.
Okay.
I went down to the basement to take something down there, which I was just down there the day before. I go to get down there, there's 4 inches of fucking water in my basement.
Ugh.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Turned out my sub pump wasn't running. Pump died. What the shit? Yeah. No, no, you think it died. Sure.
Oh, no. No, it's just overwhelmed.
When I unplugged it and plugged it back in, it took off again. And then within an hour, 4 inches of fucking water down in the basement was gone. Now, luckily, most of our stuff down there was either up. It's either up or it's in totes and all that. There wasn't a whole lot of damage. Like it's carpeted down there or had carpet down there. Oh. I had to get rid of all that. Like, so I spent a couple of days cleaning up, getting shit out and all that. But most of our stuff, it was funny. Like one of the few things that was on the ground in a cardboard box was a shit ton of old photos of mine and of my wife's. And these are like photos from our separate high school days, separate college days. So like things that we're old. These aren't things that are uploaded to Facebook. These are old ass fucking pics that we took I had film that we brought up and dried up. But some of that got ruined. You know, that was the irony. Like the irreplaceable, like also it was in a cardboard box, like a banana or a paper box, that copy paper box on the ground. But anyways, so there was very little things that really got damaged, but it gave me a chance to like load up all that carpet, load up a bunch of shit I didn't want and take it all out to the dump and get rid of it. So now so that's like the weather affected me in that way. Although I could cuss the sub, I have no idea why the sub pump just would fucking stop running for no goddamn reason.
Well, maybe it's like the shredder where it was like working too hard and got overheated and it just was like, no, I'm turning off. Like, you know,
I kind of feel like sub pumps are supposed to be above and beyond that.
I agree with you, but I don't really have a good explanation.
Like that shit's important.
For it's not important. I will agree with you on that.
Not get over. We don't live in on a riverbank. Right? Yes, we live in an area that used to be called the Great Black Swamp. But like we've got shit tons of rain before. So I mean, I don't know. It was strange as hell. I was like, what the hell just happened here? But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of weather going on. Like, can we call the eclipse weather?
I mean, the eclipse is definitely taking up all the conversation around here. So, I mean, yeah, it is. You know what? It is small talk. It's something that people are talking about that they find commonality with. You know, anybody can talk about the weather. I think that's one of the reasons I also don't love talking about the weather is just like the weather is sort of like the candle of gifts, right? Which is like, when you don't really know somebody, especially like a woman to a woman, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my sister is meeting, you know, maybe the first Christmas with Fran or whatever. And she's like, I don't really know Fran or whatever. Like my wife.
Get you some lotion and a candle.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you go for the candle because like everyone loves a candle. But it's also sort of like I don't know that my sister actually like ever gave my wife a candle, but like I'm just using this as an example. Like it just seems like a low, like, hey, I don't really know you. Like here's a candle sort of thing, which is like the weather is sort of like that too with other people, which is like, I need to feel like I need to banter with somebody on this 15, floor elevator because we're both going to be here for a while. So you look at the other person and you just go, ugh, this rain. Right. And the other person's like, yeah, I didn't bring an umbrella. Like, I got drenched. I'm like, oh man, sorry to hear that. And it's like, you know, and then we'll say something like, oh, why do we live here? And then, you know, it's like, ha ha ha. You know what I mean? Like I could just, you can play out the entire conversation from the first.
Oh, lot. I can. Cause we've all been in it. And you're right. Those conversations do annoy me, but I don't.
That's small talk. That's the very definition of small talk, right?
Is it? Okay.
I mean, how do you define small talk?
I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I was wrong. I just don't know if I can.
Like,
I don't know if I can totally classify it as small talk if it revolves around bigger weather issues rather than just like somebody in Ohio in July bitching that it's been 90 degrees all week. It's so fucking hot, blah blah blah. Yeah, that's also the same person who's pitching about it being cold in January. I would like to punch those people.
Yeah, so I'm very much a pick a lane person, right? So I is as counterintuitive as it seems, because we have much more cold days than we have warm days. I am a classic complain about the 90 degree weather. And in return, I try not to complain about the coldness. So like I try to be at least be consistent in that I'd rather endure the cold than the hot, which is, I think, kind of weird. But I think it also is good for where I live because, I mean, we don't get a lot of hot days. So like when I'm not the kind of guy that could just do multiple 90 degree days in a row. I know that about myself. Having said that, anybody wants to relocate me to Aruba where it's 80 degrees and breezy every single day, I think I could handle that.
I could. That's why when people talk about San Diego, like I couldn't fucking do San Diego. I couldn't live there.
The whale's vagina?
That old German colony.
I don't know much about San Diego.
It's like as far as like weather goes, it's like 76 and sunny like all the time, right?
Okay, and they get a good breeze or?
I don't know. From what I gather, I've been to San Diego, and yes, it was very pleasant.
I've never been to San Diego. San Diego's on the to-do list. I want to go see Petco Park. So
yeah, it's a very pleasant climate, but I don't think I could do that all the time. Like that, it feels boring to me. And there's people that I've heard talk about like being in LA even, and being like depressed because the weather is quote unquote like too good all the time. Like you get like these things like you need to be doing something rather than just being able to chill in your house.
Huh.
You can look it up. I know I've heard of it. I think even Greg has talked about hearing about that before, but maybe it wasn't him. But I know that's a thing. Like I can't like I need season changes. Like I live here.
Yeah, that much I think I feel strongly about, which is I need four seasons. I just can't just do like summer, lesser summer, right? Like I need spring, summer, winter, fall. Having said that, if spring wants to give way
shut
to
the
summer,
fuck up.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, spring is by far the worst season of all.
I mean, we can agree that if we're talking about things that if we're talking about forever loves, fall is it, right? Like fall is my favorite. Like
yeah, it's been my favorite for. Like, I think fall. Jeans, I think for a lot of people, fall becomes their favorite.
Oh God, I love it so much.
Fall becomes their favorite as the older they get. But fall has been. I mean, fall has been my favorite since childhood by far.
Exactly, it's a forever love. That's what I'm saying. It's like I've never deviated from loving fall. Right.
Yeah. And I embrace all that it has. I mean, even the thing about fall is, you know, you get those 85 degree like weeks in October. Then it just feels insane for it to be that hot. Or even if it's just like 80 degrees, but it feels like it's 120 because it's fucking October. Why is it so hot?
Right.
But I embrace all that. Like, that's great. That's still t-shirts and shorts.
We also, and I assume you are the same. We also get that 1 week. It's typically in March of like 60 degree weather when we're like, holy shit. Like I think spring's over or whatever. And that's the false spring, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You enjoy it. You go out, maybe take advantage of it. Maybe it's windy. So you can't take as much advantage of it as you want to, but you just like every single day, you walk outside and you're like, this is great. I'm not doing jackets. I'm not bundling. This is a fantastic. And then the very next week it's like, and here's another 6 inches of snow.
Right. Right. I think March is the worst month there is, period.
Yeah.
Like April can get some of those votes too. Because the rain situation is just dumb. And if you're baseball people that all that rain can get out of control. But March is by far the worst month around. And I don't care about – you can bring up March Madness. You can bring up St. Patrick's Day. Whatever you want to bring up about March, whatever. It still sucks. like February is by far better, way better than March.
Yeah.
But we haven't been getting – I mean, I know the La Nina thing hit hard this year. Like we didn't really have like a winter.
No, I think I pulled out the snowblower like three times. I don't think it was
which for you, like for me, like I didn't pull, I didn't, I don't know if I broke out a shovel this year.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
That's, okay. I mean, that's huge. I mean, I don't think we got a whole lot last year either. So, I mean, we're going multiple winners, like all the kids winner shit. I think that went untouched this year. Like, we didn't even think about planning like a snow tubing day or anything like that. It never got wintery.
Yeah.
It was bad. And I know this, like I said, it was a La Nina year, whatever. So it was supposed to be a warmer, wetter, winter, but it was depressing to handle, especially when you live in a small urban town, rural town in Ohio. It's very, very unattractive. Yeah. It's a very unattractive look just to have dead brown for 5 months.
So my wife, Fran and I were going through a budget the other day, and we were working on, like, you know, just a little bit better budgeting or whatever. And she pointed out to me something that was surprising to hear, but then, like, in retrospect made sense. She said, you spend more money through January through March than any 3 month period throughout the year. And I thought, wow, I think that scans, because a lot of the times you're stuck inside,
on
your computer more or whatever. But also, like, I don't know about you, but like, I look forward to the summer because it's usually summer concert, you know, season or whatever, to go to like shows and stuff. And a lot of those tickets go on sale in the first quarter of the year and pay off in the summer. So there's a lot of like purchasing that gets done, like big purchasing that gets done in terms of that. And I think that, like, and then she said, maybe it's like a seasonal affect disorder or something. And I thought, maybe she's not wrong. Like, it feels like, you know, the winter blahs or whatever. And you start fantasizing about the summer ahead, and you start planning for, hey, what if we could take a family vacation? Where would we take it to? Like, what's a place that we've never been to before?
Right.
Go back to that place that we've been, you know, like, I saw that conversation in our DMs the other day where you were, I can't remember which direction it was going, whether it was you inquiring with Brendan or Brendan inquiring with you, but, you know, just kind of feeling each other out about, like, hey, is this place a place to take the family to? You know what I mean? And
Hocking Hills.
Yeah.
In Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's January through March is a very spend heavy time, which is funny, right? You just got done with
Christmas, right?
So it feels like you're still paying off Christmas in January. At least in my perspective, like, I'm still paying off Christmas in January, usually. But then it's like, here comes, like, you're in the, like, sports season change, you know, like, you know, or just like, you have kids, you got they need clothes for the next season coming up. Are these the sales coming in? Like, and even for myself, it's just kind of like, I'm getting rid of all this shit. Now, do I need this and that? I mean, Ed, I'll tell you what too, is like, you get, I think it happens to us most years, like January hits and you've been inside your house. You're like, some shit's got to change. So you start spending shit on money inside your house to change up, whether it be a DIY project, whether it be furniture, whether it be, you know, any other thing that costs an exorbitant amount of money. You start chipping away at that and trying to get that done before the summer hits, where you then, you know, like for me, I got pool costs and then all your yard stuff and like, a shit ton of mulch. Like Brendan talked about, he put down mulch. I'm wondering like how much he actually put down, because I ordered up about, I think 13 yards of mulch is what I normally put down, which is a lot. Dude, I'll tell you, it's a fucking lot.
Yeah.
So like how much mulch you do in there, dog?
It's more beef consumption. It's about 10 pounds too much.
Sure. Like how thick are you putting that down? I'm putting that shit. And he's right. But that's right though. By Andy, you should be only putting down mulch once every other year. So, and last year, because of the pool situation, I skipped my every other year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I got to go extra heavy, which is not looking forward to that. But anyways, this is a Notre Dame football podcast, by the way.
You know what? We can expand this to Notre Dame athletics and hashtag dad talk, right? But honestly,
why not?
We were talking before we hit record about how quiet the Notre Dame offseason has been. And part of it, I think, is this I don't think it was ever announced as such, but this whole, like, the state-run media is so much quieter this spring than it's been.
It does feel more quiet than normal. Like,
yeah,
they've been cracking back and cracking down, and it is what it is. But I mean, like, what's funny is, and I know you'll agree with me on this, back in 2021, mind you, 2020 got squashed. But it just feels like everyone felt so bad about you not being able to be around or all that. Like, they were just handing you 5-minute clips. Like, Notre Dame itself was. Like, here, they're emailing you, like, all the stuff to use. And it was kind of the joke, like, you know, like, hell, this is shit we've been doing forever. But now it's just like, you get nothing. Here's a 30-second practice clip of quick take, like, 10 plays in 15 seconds. Like, and that's it.
Yeah, I was watching the little snippet they did in Riley Bulla the other day, and I was enjoying it because, I mean, that guy sounds like he's like an actual blast to be coached by, right? But I was also finding myself going like, oh, who's that player? And like, am I learning anything from this? Like, you know what I mean? Or am I just trying to watch this?
Trying to pick something up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, that guy hit that sled real hard. Like, oh, he's really going to be pushing people around this year, you know? Like, I don't know.
No, I love that Bulla was getting involved in that too. That's what I was saying in the DMs. Like, this looks like me coaching, like, but with sixth graders. Like, I'm playing D tackle with no pads with sixth graders tearing their asses up. Like, Bulla's out there with his little pad taking on all Notre Dame's linebackers. But yeah, I did enjoy that quite a bit, and I've always liked, like, the Bulla family, like. Even though Sparty is a mortal enemy forever and ever, and I guess this applies to any program that has like a family dynasty. Like, I respect the shit out of the family dynasty at a program.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
except when it's the Golic dynasty at Notre Dame. Or...
fuck, you're right. Like, it's on the inverse, but it's us. or Nate Montana.
Golic's not deserving to catch a stray like I just hit them with, but oh well.
I mean, it's facts.
It's facts. Hashtag facts.
That's I'm laughing hard as shit because there's more inside stuff to that than. But anyways, but yeah, but like the Bulla is that's hardcore.
The Golic show put out a clip the other day. I think it was probably the fifth time I've seen a similar clip of a woman. Professional woman journalist, and I mentioned she's a woman because I think this is going to come and play in 5 seconds, talking about zaddies and how Mike Golic Sr. is a zaddy. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, who's consuming this content? And second of all, why are we talking about this? Like,
what the fuck is a zaddy?
It's like this is two middle-aged men talking to each other about.
Like a dad of a Gen Zer?
Like an older man, like almost like what we used to call a silver fox, I guess. Because like think of like what's his name? Cooper Anderson? Is that his name? Like, yeah. Sort of like a fashionable, like well put together, charismatic, like
I am literally
debonair.
Oh shit. Now I'm fucked because I just searched it on TikTok. Like, I've learned a lot of shit about the youth through TikTok, which keeps my relationship with my daughter pretty dope because at least I understand, and my son, I guess my son's too a little bit, but I understand like the lingo come out of their mouths. Meanwhile, Carrie's like looking at him like, what the fuck are you saying? And I catch a little bit of that, but like, I've never heard zaddy. And then I just put it in the search, like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So now I'm screwed because now it's going to keep coming up. Yeah. It's a hot old dude. It's basically a MILF. But I guess they were calling, is that Avery Davis?
What?
Under his zaddy? Wait a minute.
Avery Davis? Avery Davis can't be a zaddy. I think by definition you have to be a daddy before you're a zaddy, right?
Is he a daddy?
I don't, he's like 23, isn't he?
All right, I'm about to show you this picture, Jaden, and you tell me.
God.
Oh, can you
No.
Oh, you can't see that.
Man. It's ridiculous.
I don't know how. I'm a zaddy.
He just put it in the group chat, or
I'm gonna throw it in there. I swear to Christ, this is Xavier Davis.
I mean, God, if he's, I think he's got to be older to be a zaddy, right? Like, isn't zaddy like an older man?
I don't know. He's old. He's old. The baby.
This is, people are laughing at us right now because it's just like two middle-aged men.
It's under hashtag zaddy, but it's also under the search content of DILF.
Okay.
So I mean, I get that. I'll show this to you. I swear to God, it's this is Xavier Davis. It's got to be. Gotta be.
While you're working on this, somebody asked us to mention that Ilsa Fischer and Sacha Baron Cohen broke up after 13 years of marriage. Therefore,
but they did it last year, though.
What's that?
They did it last year.
But apparently, it was just revealed, or I'm not sure. I didn't read the articles or anything like that. But apparently, it was recent news. Yes.
Yeah, it was recent news. Yeah.
Yes. Let me see here. When did it come out? Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen, Ilsa Fischer revealed why they filed for divorce last year, 2 days ago. Oh, now I'm looking at the fan. Here we go.
How the hell that?
Oh, you're on a different. We're running a totally professional podcast here.
I'll lose my shit.
Now you're like in an echo chamber. So what's going on?
I gotta get out of here. Stop doing this. How about now? Oh, no. Shit.
Nope.
This is gonna end. This is gonna end poorly. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is gonna end poorly. I'm not gonna show you that picture because apparently technology and me are not mixing today.
That's too funny. All right, first of all, we can agree that Ilsa Fischer is a pretty woman, right?
She's gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely gorgeous.
She's a babe, right?
Yeah.
That pairing on paper always looked like it didn't make a ton of sense, but 13 years, congrats.
They never make sense, but the dude's always funny, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess a guy who can make you laugh is certainly can make up for a lot of other shortcomings, right?
And he's not ugly. No. We're talking about motherfucking Ali G, for crying out loud. Which is the best character it is. So I still think it's better than Borat. Did you ever watch that spy series on Netflix that he was in?
I don't think so.
Do yourself a favor. Watch that if you got a chance. I can't remember what it's called, but it might just be like something like Spy or something like that. But he plays he's a Jew and goes undercover for Mossad and all that. It's good. It's good. Really
good. Okay. I feel like my backlog of so big. Like everybody, like my father's like, I'm watching The Bear. You got to watch this. And I was like, Dad, I don't have time for The Bear. Like, it could be the greatest show in the world, but like, I want to be respectful, but I just like, I can't.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Something strange happened recently and I didn't look up why it was, the show Vikings was on History Channel, correct?
That sounds right. Yeah.
There wasn't any real nudity on that show, correct?
I didn't watch it. I don't know. So.
You never watched it? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not going to be helpful.
You know my thing. Like I'll put an old show on in the background while I'm doing dishes, laundry, all that shit. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I had seen Vikings which I could get it on Hulu I got them all for Christ's sakes, but it just popped up on, came back to Netflix. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, I'll put that on while we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. But I started hearing things that I don't remember and scenes being longer than they were.
Oh.
And then I took a look and like, sure enough, like there's boobs. I'm like, what? This was not on History Channel. And so I did not know that they filmed like an unrated or a R-rated version of Vikings and just trimmed it up for the History Channel. But no. That version has never existed anywhere else, as far as I know.
Oh my gosh! And so it's a known thing, like it's a reported on thing.
I don't know. I literally just noticed that today.
Yeah.
I thought, well, this is wild. So now I'm really interested in watching the rest of the series. It's not really going to be like a background thing now because there has been extended scenes, extended conversations, like different.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's been a lot. It's been like all the deleted scenes, basically.
It's 100% a thing. I'm on a very reputable website called movie-censorship.com, and it's mentioning all of the ways in which the American TV version there on History Channel is different than the quote unquote extended version that they released on, I'm guessing, DVD.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it is then.
There's 13. There's 13 additional scenes in the extended version of, what is this, just the pilot? I don't even know. Let's see here. I mean, I'm just looking at season two or something. That's crazy. So,
yeah, that's wild. That's wild. That threw me off guard. Let's put it that way. So, but anyways, again, this is a Notre Dame football podcast.
I'm sorry. I was the one you did make it. You did bring Avery Davis into the conversation about that.
I did bring it. Who did do the Avery Davis pass right in front of Brendan and I? One game that was sweet, but I do want to. I don't have any reviews for anybody tonight, probably because they're not sure if this is a dad podcast or a Hollywood podcast or a football podcast. But get on over to Apple Podcasts, leave that rating, leave a review. Any review that you leave, we will read word for word on the next Earn 5-Star podcast. Brendan and I were wrong on the last show. I wanted to point that out.
Oh, and people, I'm here with this.
Well, I mean, we took the Riley Leonard news as kind of like
gospel.
It's kind of like he's donezo for the spring, and apparently that's not the case. He's been practicing with the team. He's been shadow boxing in the huddles the whole night. So I just wanted to point that out. Like, we were wrong about some of our feelings for the fall because we were pretty concerned about. Like, if Riley Leonard wasn't going to be able to do anything this spring, like, we're like, what the, like, that does not bode well for us at all.
Well, he's not a full participant, though, right? You were, like, partially right?
Yes. Yeah, we were partially right. But, I mean, if you're partially right, you're wrong. And, I mean, I'll take credit for being partially right about things. I do all the time. But I'm also wrong. But I think, like, a lot of my concerns. All
right. How about this? April 20th is the Blue Gold game, right? Does Riley Leonard play?
No.
Right. So you're not
wrong. I'm fine with that. Well, yeah, I mean, again, I don't care about the Blue Gold game. I care about the scrimmage the day of the practice before, like the 100-play scrimmage. Like, that's my concern. Like, you don't get to see that. All you do is get to hear whispers about it. But that's where all the real important stuff happens. The Blue Gold game is just a exhibition, like, to the max. Like, it's... It is what it is. I give shit less about the Blue Gold game. So I can't imagine Leonard being involved at all in that because that's a full go 100-play scrimmage.
Speaking of which, do you have any plans to bring your family to the Blue Gold game this year?
We talked about that a little bit because there's Notre Dame baseball plays Boston College that weekend. And this is funny. It's my wife. It's her birthday weekend, which I've said before. Like, the spring game is always falls at a funny time. It's usually around my wife's birthday, which is a little rough to get around, right? Like, it's a fucking spring game. Like, and now I can watch it on Peacock. Like, it's not a huge thing that I need to be up there for that. And I'm not trying to like get into a huge, like, it's my wife's birthday. Oh, fuck it.
Right.
But she did talk about going up there, like, for a Notre Dame baseball game until we found out that it was Boston College. Ugh. The only other baseball game that she had been to, Notre Dame baseball game, was against Boston College. So she thought. Well, she had thought that that was the, you know, we got a Hicksville native playing for Toledo.
Oh.
And we're going up for that. I think that's Notre Dame's last series of the season, though, is home series, Notre Dame Toledo, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. So we were planning on going up to that. So I thought she thought that was her birthday weekend, but it's not. It's in May. And then I was like, oh, yeah, we got the spring game. So I kind of thought for a half second, like, well, maybe we're doing a baseball and spring game combo. And that, I don't think that's happening now
either. I don't really follow Notre Dame baseball, but I did see the headline about how they came back from 10 runs down today. Did you see that?
Yes. I mean,
only to tie it up and then lose in extras. Ugh, that's gross.
So Notre Dame has two conference wins this season.
Two out of three, two out of 15.
We're two and 13 in conference play.
Yeah. Two out of three. Okay. Two out of 15. Not so hot.
Yeah, and both those wins came against Miami. We should have swept Miami, so they'll give three. But like two, you beat Miami twice at home, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's a tragic season right now. Like, yeah, out of conference, doing pretty decent. But, I mean, it's not like they're playing a lot of hot, you know, your midweek games aren't too big. And the Michigan State one last week was canceled. But, dude, in conference play this year, it's been fucking tragic. And what's funny is like, I didn't really notice it, but I kept hearing like how poor their base running is. And Saturday I turned the game on. It was on ESPN2. It was the same time as a basketball game, but I turned that on and was watching it. And the first thing I saw was this kid just fucking I can't remember who that was for ND, but he drilled the ball and hit the wall, and he gets thrown out at second. Like, ugh. Poor base running, yeah, because the guy was fucking probably half jogging the first, thinking this is either out or, you know, an out or it's out.
Yeah.
And then he tried pushing it to get the second, because it's kind of embarrassing for you to hit the fucking wall like that and only end up at first. But probably should stay, but just got gunned down. And it's just like, yep, this is not a good look. Yeah, it's not good. Jack Finley's been out also. He had Tommy John surgery, so he's miss all season. Really Notre Dame's best pitcher. But pitching doesn't seem to be as big a problem as a lot of the offensive woes. It's been a rough year. It's been rough. Like really rough. So we'll have our day of the sun in the ACC tournament, see if we can make some noise, but there'll be no NCAAs this year. Just sad. And now Stifler is getting some heat from, I know there's not a lot of Notre Dame baseball fans online that you see, but I do see a handful, and Stifler is catching some major fucking heat right now. So as he should.
We are, this is not Link Jarrett territory anymore.
No, although I feel like it's karma biting me in the ass because of how much Brendan and I made numerous jokes at Link Jarrett's expense with Florida State last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Florida State had a really rough season. And kind of feel like karma's biting me in the ass on that one. Sorry, boys. I'll put that on me. And at first, I got to tell you, man, when the season started, I really thought we were going to have things were looking good. Like I saw more power than I had in the recent past. I'm like, shit, these guys are knocking the hell out of the ball. And it's just like, no. ACC's tough, too. I mean, ACC's got some tough competition. And Clemson, mind you, is the number two team in the country. So didn't have a whole lot of hope going into this series as it was, but hoping to sneak out one. You're at home, for God's sakes.
Well, you know, if you're not into baseball, there is a couple of spring teams that are absolutely blowing it up. And of course I speak of the men's and women's lacrosse team, right? Number one,
both ranked number one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace Hall should be lit the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because fencing couldn't get the job done. If you didn't know. Fencing came second to Harvard this year. So we didn't four-peat as national champions.
I don't, I'm not interested in anything that does that ends in second place. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's it didn't even get an article on the site this year, which I swear to God, somebody hit me up like, "Hey, do you want me to write an article for Fencer?" Like, this is some random fan, and I'm like, "Nah." Like, I'm not interested.
Having said that, Brendan is absolutely right that we are now home field is so far afield in terms of like what they're willing to put onto a T-shirt in terms of celebrating championships. That we should have had a fencing championship T-shirt.
Oh, I bitched about that last year. I sent an email in, and I'm telling you, this is not home field's fault.
No, it's Notre Dame, right?
It is absolutely Notre Dame's fault.
Yeah.
Look, home field likes money, like everybody else, yes, right? If a school like Notre Dame wins a national championship in something, they're going to make the shirt if they're allowed, and they were not. It's like fucking Virginia Tech won a national championship in bass fishing. Have you seen that shirt?
Yeah.
You see the national championship? I'm telling you, that's a dope ass shirt, and it's sold great.
Cool shirt. Yeah.
But if Hopeville put out a national championship fencing shirt, dude, people would have been fucking all over that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Under Armour. And when they did last year, one of the things that you got pointed to right away in the article saying they won the national championship was a link to UND.com or Fanatics or whatever with Under Armour's versions of their championship shirts. They're not trying to hand out money to anybody else.
Right.
So it's a licensing deal. It sucks because it's not nearly as fun or as cool, but it's not home field's fault.
I really don't want to buy a pair of home field socks because if they're the most comfortable socks I've ever worn, then I'm just going to give more of my paycheck over to home field.
Yeah, that's not happening either.
Right? Which is such backwards thinking, but like, because there's definitely a part of me that's very, very intrigued. I'm like, oh, I could really use a home field comfort on my feet, especially during the wintertime. But I'm worried that if I buy one pair, then I'm going to buy 40 pairs. So.
What's been really bad is that I got a list of about 15 shirts that I'd like to own, but the fact that I own like 60 or whatever the hell it is right now,
exactly,
like, makes it really hard. But like, I'm trying to figure out ways. Like, I'm gonna start weaning out, so getting rid of shit to like make room in my drawer for the these that I want, just to like mix it up. You know, plus my wife wears them like she will wear one every night to bed. That's her pajamas now, or and has been, is a home field shirt. So like when we do like family vacation, like I remember last summer when we were with my wife's family, they made more than a couple of comments about our T-shirts, which was we probably brought, you know, 20 home field shirts to the two of us. So it was constantly something. I don't know if maybe two of them were Notre Dame, but you know, we're rocking Air Force, South Carolina, fucking Texas, you know how it goes. Like,
yeah,
LSU. We got the whole thing going on there. They're like, oh, so we got another shirt there, huh? Yeah.
So obviously not this past Friday, but the Friday before, Notre Dame, women's basketball was in Albany. And I happened to be working in Albany that day. So I got permission from the boss to take the afternoon off, you know, went with a colleague. It was fantastic. And so she and I are walking past the merch table and she's like, you want to grab one of these like shirts or whatever? And I, they got everything, right? They've got Sweet 16 shirts with 16 different logos on them, like on the same shirt. They've got,
oh my God,
ones, like a purple one for LSU. They've got a green one for Notre Dame or whatever. And I was just like, I have way too many T-shirts. And she I've talked to her before about my home field obsession. So I think she just kind of laughed and was like, oh yeah, right, the home field. So yeah, I don't really love the NCAA stuff because it tends to be a little busy for what I typically wear.
And it's,
I
think, very busy.
Yeah. And that's why
you, although, you know what? It's that. They're good for right away cutting off the sleeves and using them as like mowing shirts.
Yeah. 100%.
Cause that's honestly, it's the sleeves more than anything that bother me about other shirts. And so they just need to get cut right off the jump.
Yeah. Look, I'm just not a big fan of celebrating like half measures. Hey, we made it to the Sweet 16. Like, okay.
Right. Now, but that's for Notre Dame basketball. Like, if Eastern Michigan went to the Sweet 16, I would not stop buying. I would buy every piece of Sweet 16 gear that I could. Because the last time they were the Sweet 16 was my senior year in high school.
I mean, because this feels a little bit like Syracuse announcing that they were bowl bound. They started the season 6-0 and buying and getting bowl bound T-shirts, you know.
But that was pressure from that company or whatever to that bowl, because everyone had the same design. Once you got bowl eligible, everybody had the same design. It was the exact same. Like, it was whatever company was doing that, which was brilliant, by the way. We may look at it. We may look our noses down on it a little bit, but it's also fucking brilliant.
If you bought a bowl bound T-shirt when Syracuse was 6-0, you got to feel so fucking stupid that year after they ended the season, whatever it was, 7-6, or it was bad. It was absolutely bad. So
I don't know. There's some days I kind of wish that's where my fandom was at. Like, to be excited over that.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I've talked about the weight of history on Notre Dame football, and like the ridiculous expectations of Notre Dame football, like from within its own fan base, which makes things not fun at times. Like, it's almost like you're not allowed like to have fun with like the small things or to be happy about something because, you know, you're happy about this, but oh, it's on a national championship. It's annoying. And you get a little bit jealous of other fan bases that are allowed to have fun with some of this other stuff, right? And it's for Notre Dame, it's the weight of history. And I'm telling you, like, at what point do you fucking stop? Like, we're creeping up on 40 years since 1988. Like, at what point are you going to stop with that bullshit? All the expectations. Like, well, okay, well. We could bet on it every year, and I'd be a rich man, and he'd be poor as shit. Like, people should be allowed to. I think Notre Dame fans that are all up fucking tight about this stuff, and it trips me out even more if it's somebody that's younger than us, Jude. Like, what do you know? Like, well, like, we, you know, you and I lived through the 88 to 93 seasons. Like, we lived that time. I know that time. But if someone's like, you know, 30 and trying to tell me about how Notre Dame, it's national championships, that's what we're here, blah, I'm like, what the fuck do you know about it?
You don't know my suffering. You don't know.
Like, what do you know about this shit? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm on board with that. And I bring that up because there was interviews lately with Pete Bavakwa. And there was some eyebrow raising things brought up. There was things that he did not bring up that he talked about only because he was asked. And some of that had to do with like national championships. And it's just like, I'm still concerned about what we have in Bavakwa at this point. Like, and that's not to say that they should not have hired him. I'm just like, all right, he's really going to have to prove to me that he means business within football, within the scope of football, because it didn't sound like it to me. Like, it very much sounded like lip service, and it sounds a lot like Swarbrick 2.0 when it started to feel like, you know, Swarbrick was just saying the things that needed to be, that, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to put my finger on it, but I'm saying, like, I was not encouraged, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's very, all very lukewarm. Right. And it's like, part of it is, I mean, it's not that he's unfamiliar with being interviewed. It's not that he's unfamiliar with being in a position where he is looked at for the, you know, for the answers or for, you know, sort of the corporate speaker, whatever, but it just, the whole thing just read like you were being served this really like not even fully warm version of oatmeal. And you were just like, you're going to eat this. And I was like, but maybe I don't want to, you know? Yeah. It was very underwhelmed. Very underwhelmed.
Like, I'm always very skeptical of people in waiting anyways. And like for whatever, I don't care what you want to say about what Vavakwa did before that. He's very much been the AD in waiting for over a year now. Like he's been getting trained up. This is like a Roger Goodell situation. And how many people are happy with Roger Goodell right now? Or have been?
Well, the Goodell fit situation to me is like Rob Manfred, right? Which is like, you're just
right.
I think these people exist to be bitched at, you know what I mean? Like they're just never going to make people happy. So
no, in a sense, I guess you're right. But again, like I don't like the in waiting. Like, so he's been trained by the guys you're placing. Like I need somebody to make their own mark and not in a, I need to make my own mark kind of a way. I just need that to be more of a natural thing that comes like making their mark rather than just like keeping up with just keeping things going the way they've been going. Like I understand not crashing the plane is cool and all, but I mean, like, sometimes you need to land that motherfucker.
Right. No, I agree. You're going to need somebody a little bit more who's willing to take a little bit more chances, right? Who's willing to
maybe he is like
crash the plane as opposed to just, you know, very boring, safe flights. Right.
Right. And maybe look, he's barely into any of this. Like, is he not even official yet? Right.
Way premature on this. So.
Right. I'm just saying from what he has said in the interviews leading up to, there is nothing there that suggests to me otherwise. I am just waiting for something to happen or waiting here. Just like when he talked about schedules, like, and I've been screaming that for how long, Jude? For 2 months now. Like if you think you're going to have a good, then fucking show me schedule. But they have not.
Hey,
like there's nothing on those schedules that says to me, hey, we're trying to have an interesting schedule.
Ronnie Paulus is in charge. He's got it figured out through 2032. What are you?
Wait, no. Savant, Jude.
He's a savant.
Savant.
Speaking of which, I am so mad that I missed last week's podcast because there was 100 Prodigy jokes about Clarence Lewis that I wanted to make. You know, I mean, how could you give up on a Prodigy?
I put it in the deck on the on the site. What about the up there? And I'm hoping everybody understood that. But anyways, Rob Paulus, contract savant. So much so that was just the issue.
Your friendly reminder that Ron Paulus blocked me on Twitter after I reported through a Freedom of Information Act request about his responses to us. What was it? God, who reached out to play him? I can't even remember. Somebody UAB or somebody like that, like during the COVID, the funny ass COVID season, and when everyone was trying to find a dance partner, and like.
Oh my God!
It was like UAB you? Was like, "Hey, we'll play you." Ron's like, "Yeah, we'll be in touch." I mean, it wasn't even that bad. It was just something a contract savant would do when he's got a lot of moving pieces. You know, like no shit on Ron Paulus, but the guy blocked me. What a thin skinned dude.
So. That's strange. Funny
to me. Quentin Nelson is head scratching to me, but Ron Paulus blocking me is just funny. So.
Ron Paulus not having thick skin is Ron Paulus
spending more than 1 second of his life, more than 0 seconds of his life thinking about me is funny to me. You know?
I can't believe you fucking FOIA'd him for that though.
I went through this whole thing where I started reading a bunch of Matt Brown things and I'm like, I'm going to be like the FOIA king of Notre Dame or whatever. I think I was doing alphabetically. And so I got some fun stuff back, and whenever I got something fun, I would report on it or whatever. But like, I think I stopped at Auburn. That's how quickly I stopped that.
yeah. The schedule part was bothering, and it continues to bother me. Like that, I am so pro regular season that I want to punch everybody in the face that all they can talk about is playoffs. And then when they talk about Notre Dame's place in the college football world, well, we got the playoffs. This gets us in. This is an easier path in. And I hate that. And everyone knows that. I'm fucking a bitch. I've been cussing about it for 2 months.
Says the guy who said he would buy a Sweet 16 gear, but keep going.
For Eastern Michigan, sure. I've been there since my – sure, goddamn right. But where was I going at with this? Oh yeah, I know I was going somewhere. So yeah, the savant. So now the Athletic wants to get it all. Let's take over the offseason conversation, which was part of my art.
By the way, Brendan has been on this since the jump. He's always pointed out how the Athletic doesn't want to do anything that relates to actual like data analysis in the offseason. They just want to write 100 fucking wank pieces about super leagues that people will read, but will ultimately mean nothing.
Exactly. And I tried to have my story that I wrote about it not be clickbait. Like and not even like appear as such.
Is that possible?
But it's hard. Well, it's hard. Well, it's hard with the fucking Facebook group. Like this says the guy who thought it was clickbait that I said, it was a recruit from Georgia.
You said Georgia DB commits or something like that. And they're like, he didn't transfer from Georgia. He's like, he's fucking from the state of Georgia.
It's fucking clickbait. But anyways, but I still felt like, all right, this is out there. This is a huge part of the conversation. I want to talk about this in some manner because, and I pointed it out in the article, like all this stuff that they're talking about, every single one of them. And I listened to the podcast. I mean, wasn't like I was like, oh my God, I need as much information about this thing that's not going to happen. And I said in the article, like, I highly doubt any of this is going to happen, but not like I had to know, but like the one thing that nobody was fucking talking about, Jude, at all was the regular season schedule. It was so fucking infuriating to me that this is where we're at. Like nothing else matters but the postseason to anybody, especially the people like the Athletic, like you said, like Brendan's like hammering. This is all they talk about. So they bring up this whole thing, all the Super League with 8 divisions of 10 teams each. Like, all right, so let's talk about the regular season schedule. Do they play all 9 in their division? How does that work with the division that is made up of teams from multiple conferences of the smaller ones, you know, the relegated one? Like, so now they got to change their schedule this year because they moved up. How does that work with like, none of this shit makes sense. Like, how their divisions put out geographically? Then they're like, well, let's just go ahead and call these like the old conference names. Like no. Like none of that. That was it. But no schedule talk was about. Like this makes no sense to me. Like how, and so if we were pushing the regular season aside like that consistently, that is bothersome to me. And that is what I feel Notre Dame is doing right now, with the position that they're in. Because yes, right now they are in great position to continue to be independent as far as the system goes right now, to continue to be independent, to have access to the playoffs and all that. All that stuff is true, but you're also getting a jacked up bullshit fucking regular season. If you're cool with that, then that's on you. I, on the other hand, enjoy all of the season and think of the 12 games that Notre Dame does have during the regular season as holy, and want something more than just a lot more than what's on the plate on their plate, especially this season. And so, but nobody wants to talk about that. Like this whole Super League thing, no one's bringing up like scheduling. So you got to figure that one out, my friends. Like if you're gonna say, hey, and you know who is talking about that? The actual commissioners and ADs that are looking at this and not really talking about it at all. Because it fucking makes no sense. But yeah, here's the Athletic. Here's everybody else in college football. And again, I'm part of that problem because I wrote a single article about it. And we're talking about it a little bit on this podcast. But can't we just have a fucking off season? I mean, that was my point of the story anyways. Like, we haven't had one in over 15 years of having a normal off season where we could talk about matchups and games and all that. And people, a lot of bloggers do. And but as far as, like, the national conversation, which we all ended up there at some point, none of that involves the season. It's all been conference realignment, just – transfer portal shit, NIL. Like there's probably more articles written about NIL deals in the last few years than actual rivalries that are interesting. So, to make it make sense.
I can't make it make sense. I just
like, do you remember when NIL first happened, how even national outlets were reporting on every single fucking deal? Like, oh, the offensive line here got
Mission Barbecue to a Longhorn Steakhouse. Yeah.
Like, this is news? like, are we reporting on every single NFL player getting and their fucking
endorsement,
you know,
deal? Their, car,
their endorsement deal of a car lot?
Yeah.
Like, I just.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
It is infuriating. And honestly, I wish that's why one of the reasons I willingly pay for extra points, because I'm much more interested in somebody telling me how the court cases are progressing, because that actually means something than your wank off fantasy about, you know, honestly, the whole thing is just Bill Connolly's commission. If I were commissioner story, it's just repackaged. Right.
It is a lot like between that ideology and like and Staples and the platform that Staples has, which is huge. It has been for either we use at Sports Illustrated, Athletic, or now with On Three. Like, this is his wet dream. This is what he's been pushing for. And I still can't figure out why this is something that he actually wants. Like, and this is a person who played college football. I mean, Staples was a walk-on, but he fucking was a walk-on at Florida. A pretty decent college football program over the last 50 years. Like, I don't understand why the death of college football means so much to you, but you're rooting it on. And then in his last podcast, talking about this particular Super League thing, he tried playing it off like how this won't happen, blah, blah, blah. But yet you're constantly talking about it. Like, this is what you want. Just say it. And there's been talk like, oh, dude, I like more better games. Well, so do I, but that's like, you're not getting that this way. And no one's explaining how that would work. Like, do you have to play your 9 games in your division? Can you play any podunk, or does it have to be within those other divisions? Like, how does any of that work? I don't know. But no one wants to talk about that part of it. They just want to talk about, we're divvying it up and that's it. And this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Realignment. I mean, or not realignment, but relegation. It's about time. Is it? I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting and it's kind of fun, but it also makes no goddamn sense. And they're saying, well, the business model now is sustainable. I get that too. But yet, here we still are. And for schools, and this is one of the things that I didn't like what Bavakwa said, like, is the same thing kind of like Jack was talking about. They're basically waiting on Congress to do something. They're not doing shit until Congress says something. Well, Congress ain't going to do shit.
No, Congress.
It's not on anybody's fucking to-do list right now.
No. They got to keep the government running. They do not. And they're smart. They know that anything that they are going to waste capital on and spend time on could be undone by the courts anyway.
Well, so. You say smart, but you mean savvy, because they're not smart. They're savvy. But that's just like, yeah, right. Like, oh, hey, here's an election year. Let's talk about this. Like, no. That none of the shit's going down. So this is going to have to be done internally or through the courts, which, again, that's where the big ones are happening at. But even the way the model is set up right now does not mean there has to be a change. Like, there's not a antitrust suit that can really work here, because everybody does have a path, right? Like, they fixed that part of it.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about compensation. Well, that there's multiple different models there, but a different compensation package for the students doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to the Super League thing. It just doesn't. Not all companies can pay the same, right?
No, absolutely right. It annoys me. You went the exact opposite direction I did, which is like, you were just like, hey, let me listen to all of it and see if I can make it make sense to me. And I was just like, this is nonsense, and I will not give the click. I just I will through osmosis, Brendan and Josh and maybe Greg, if he wants to, they'll fill me in on anything that actually makes sense. You know, or would be something that could be easily implemented. But
I feel like mostly over the last few years, I've been kind of like just trying to ignore it. And again, I'm kind of numb from the last 15 years of off seasons being just dumb. And this time around, I was like, all right, let's see what, you know, let's dive into this a little bit. And it's just, it's still dumb. It's dumb to talk about.
I felt the same exact way when we had the series of articles about Caitlin Clark did X, or Caitlin Clark once thought about X. You know what I mean? Like, my father sent me one the other day, and it was like, Caitlin Clark's surprising connection to Albany. And it was like, and I kept thinking of that Brendan meme, like, go in there and make it about you. You know what I mean? And it's just like literally, like, Caitlin Clark once, like, you know, tweeted that she would wanted to visit Notre Dame. She could have been to Notre Dame, or like, you know, so-and-so once said that she would play for Geno at UConn. And like, it just, the whole thing is exhausting. She picked Iowa. She was great at Iowa. She's going to get drafted number one in the overall in the WNBA draft. And you know what? If it brings more fans to the league, I'm absolutely here for it. But if anyone thinks that Caitlin Clark is going to be the best player in the WNBA, they just simply don't watch enough WNBA. Because Caitlin Clark's great, but she's not. Sabrina Ionescu's 10 times better than her. You know, it's just like, what are we even doing here? Like, people were paying $2,000 for tickets to the Saturday game, Iowa LSU.
Which is awesome, by the way.
What's that? That people were paying $2,000?
Yeah, I mean, that people's interest in that is that high into it. Let's put it that way. Like, I find that all incredibly fantastic.
Yeah, and no, anything that is more, I mean, look, as I was saying to, I was telling you about, you know, 17 million viewers at the peak of the Iowa-UConn game, right? 17 million viewers at the peak of the Iowa-UConn game. ESPN's most watched basketball game, men's or women's, and they had the NBA for years. And nobody watched nobody had more eyeballs on any game than Iowa fucking UConn women's basketball. That is fucking fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And Caitlin Clark is a tremendous part of that that puzzle. And Paige Buchers from UConn, same deal, right? Like, it's just absolutely, I don't care when you came to women's basketball, because I just came there in the last 2 years myself in terms of the pro stuff. Obviously, I've been following Notre Dame women's basketball for several years, but dating back to the Ruth Riley Championship. But I'm here for all of it, right?
It is great. Because, I mean, we're speaking hours after South Carolina won, and of all the players this year talked about, like, it was not there, like Paige and Hannah and Caitlin, like, and Juju, like, South Carolina was talked about as a singular monster rather than defined by a singular player, and they just won every single fucking game they played in this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like, the thing that was evident to me tonight or this afternoon watching the game is South Carolina is like Alabama football, which is like one person is having an off game or one person gets hurt or goes down. There's like a 5-star wait and then the bench just waiting to take over. Like, their bench was so effing deep. And that was one thing that I knew that was going to get Iowa in trouble when they were going to play them was, yeah, I was going to hang for three quarters. They're going to make it a game. And they came back. They were within, I think, six, closer to the end or whatever. But, like, it's just, you know, Watkins, Cardozo. Like, there were just so many
right. just
good people on South Carolina this year.
That's what's been infuriating about Notre Dame, just of all the injuries they took. And, like, even through the injuries, they were still, like, still playing and dominating, but it's just like at some point it was too much.
Right. And you think to yourself, what could have this team been if we had Olivia Miles? What could have this team been if it had Dara Mabry? Like, what could have this team been if, you know, what was it? Kylie Watson went down with an injury in the ACC tournament. Like, right. It's just like, there were so many what ifs. And now how's the Hannah Hidalgo, Olivia Miles thing going to work out next year? Is there space for both of them, right?
There has to be. There has to be. Like, there's no way that this isn't Steve Angeli or Riley Leonard here.
But, like, it was so funny because, like, Olivia Miles was so much fun to watch. Just absolutely just a joy to watch. And then she gets hurt and there's this, like, mourning period. And here comes Hannah Hidalgo. And I don't think I had more fun watching anybody play this year than I watched Hannah Hidalgo play. Like, just the, and again, I was at the game, you know, and like a couple weeks ago, and I was telling my colleague, like, the aggressiveness, the, she doesn't take a play off, the whole, like, just getting in your kitchen, just harassing you for that basketball. Like, it's hers. You know what I mean? I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Now, unfortunately for us, she had about one of the coldest shooting streaks ever saw in my life.
I thought people put too much blame on the whole nose ring thing, but it wasn't her night from the jump, as far as from what I could tell. I thought the nose ring took a big rap for her, just having like maybe her worst night as a player, period. It was going to be one way or another.
There was a moment at the end. They're trying to get back into the game, right? And the ball kicks out to her, and she's got a wide open look for three. And I thought at that point, I think she ended the game with 10 points. And I think at that point she had like 6 points. And I thought to myself, here it is. She's going to make this huge shot, and all of a sudden she's going to be back on track, and it missed. And it was just like,
and despite all that, I mean, it was like Notre Dame's insistence on not winning that game. Like, they, you know, you're up too late, and Oregon State kept turning the ball over left and fucking right.
Oh my God.
And you're not increasing your lead at all. Was it four possessions in a row? Like four or five possessions in a row. Like, you're not capitalizing on any of these mistakes to increase that lead. You're dead. You're going to be, as soon as that nonsense quits for Oregon State, you're dead in the water.
Yeah. I should take a picture of the scoreboard.
And that's exactly what happened.
I should have taken a picture of the scoreboard, because like, I can't remember if it was second quarter, or third quarter. I think it was halftime. Maybe, the game was close, and
yeah, Notre Dame went down one at halftime or two.
The stat sheet, and Oregon State was hitting some unreal number of field goal percentage.
68% from the field.
Exactly, for the right? game. And then you were just like, there's just no way they aren't winning this game by 20 points. And then you went to the far most right column, and it said 25 turnovers to 6. And it's like, okay, all right, no, I understand now. So
right, but then you look at the rebounds, it was 45-24.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
In favor of Oregon State. So like, sure. So they're shooting damn near 70%, and they're out rebounding the hell out of you. But they're turning the ball, like, the reason the game is close because they're turning the ball over left and right. Honestly, if I'm Notre Dame, I don't understand why they don't fucking, like, I think Brendan brought this up in the last podcast. Why don't you hack a shack the shit out of Beers? She's at like a 35% free throw shooter. She can't shoot for shit.
Yeah.
Like, just put in a scrub that's sitting on the bench and get after her. Like, is it dirty? I don't know. it's what you did in the 80s and 90s.
Your reward for beating Oregon State was to go to the buzzsaw that was South Carolina, though, you know, so.
Right. But I think I could have dealt with that loss a little bit more than I could have with the Oregon State loss, honestly.
I just felt like it was there for them to take. And they didn't. Losing to Oregon State in anything. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. It was there for the taking, and it wasn't just Hannah being cold. Like, if you're not capitalizing on, I can't remember how long that went on, but she's like, Jesus, can't you? You got to do something here to increase that lead, or else you're fucked. And as soon as did they have two over the back call, over and back calls like in a row? We're gonna say it felt like they're fucking up royally here, and they're not catching any shit for it. Like, you're screwed. Officials. Like, I feel like we have Angel Hernandez out there for every game. I don't know. So you were asking me before the podcast, because we're trying to figure out what we're talking about, and Jude says, well, you know, tell, like, what's the noise with spring right now? And I'm baffled at the answer, because there is no real noise about the spring. Like, they're really, I mean, like, the noise is like, let's get out of here alive. You know, we talked about it in the last pod with Brennan, was, you know, Benny Moe going down. Like, we just got to feel like we just want to get fucking done with spring and keep people healthy. But I don't feel like there's like, even like there's not, you know, there's not a lot of viewing and all that. So it's hard to get a good gauge. But maybe if you want to take a good positive away from what's going on, like Notre Dame has a wide receiver group, which they haven't had, especially for a spring in a number of years. So if you're talking about buzz from a spring, like there's the wide receivers seem decent right now, which we could not say the last few years. But it's a hard answer to come up with because there's really not a whole lot there because you're not given a lot. And I know a lot of people will take some take some interviews of the players and kind of twist it around to serve whatever idea you got cooking up in your head. And, you know, that's the name of the game.
Either way, this is what happens when you run a tightly controlled state run media, but you don't actually have the punitive measures to go after people. People will like in absence of actual cold, hard video evidence, people will just take whatever and run with it. Right.
Which I don't think that they mind. Like, I think they're fine with that. They're not stupid. by any means. So I think they're okay with that part of it because it in no way really affects the job that they're trying to get done. But I do think there's a better way to sell the program during spring than what's being done.
What's being offered, yeah.
Yeah, I did. And again, I don't care about spring. I know how important it is, the players and coaches. That's not what I'm saying. But there's so much nonsense that gets talked about throughout the media, through all of us, that it's pointless in a lot of ways to discuss. But I just feel like there's a better way to sell your program through spring than having it all completely buttoned up. And maybe their better way is more than what BK was offering.
Also, by the way,
yeah, I mean, they are getting assistant coaches and players to talk to more.
Which team on our schedule are we afraid of seeing our practice reports?
Yeah.
Like, who are you hiding it from? Oh, no. The service academies. We'll see how we defend the option.
More specifically, Air Force, that first round playoff game. I'm telling you, if that hits, Jude, that's an all. I should probably retire. If it's Air Force in the first round, I'm gonna fucking.
I wonder if you could get odds on that. Probably not, but
you could probably get odds on Air Force making the playoffs. And if they do, they'd be the 12.
That's true. That's fair.
But you know, I know if you can get odds on Notre Dame Air Force being, you know, Notre Dame being the 5. It's hard to see them not. Like if Notre Dame's not the 5 seed, then they're probably like the 11, like the 10 or 11 seed. Because if they lose a game to this fucking bullshit ass schedule, like, I mean, I would not think they'd get a first round bye. I'll fight you. I'll fight anybody that says otherwise. Like, I don't think they deserve a fucking playoff bid if they lose one on the schedule, anyways. If they lose a game in this schedule, they should fucking just call it quits, go to the Alamo Bowl.
I feel like you've made your feelings known about this schedule multiple times.
The schedule is so bad it turns me into the people that I hate. That's like national title bust. But that's basically like this is you're gonna need this, it has to be this. That's so disappointing. The schedule is so disappointing. So goddamn disappointing. And so is every schedule after that. So Pete Mavacqua, you better prove me wrong, Chief. Please.
Let's do it.
Wrong. Like Ron Paulus, contract savant, prove me wrong.
Oh, Arkansas is recruiting John Calipari to coach their basketball team? Oof.
I saw that today. I don't know how that's going to happen. Doesn't seem like a good fit.
Speaking of which, did you see Bill Belichick in full Washington Huskies duds the other day?
No.
Oh yeah, he was at a practice for Washington. I don't know what the connection.
Tell me, he had a cutoff hoodie.
No, it was not a cutoff, which was really annoying to me. It was a full on hoodie, but it was a full on hoodie and sweats. He's wearing a purple Washington hat. Actually, it looks like a trucker mesh hat or whatever, and then just like plain W, like sweatshirt or whatever. So, yeah. Oh, he's the father, the defensive coordinator. Duh, I forgot about that.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. The first Twitter comment, though, on the one that I saw was Belichick out here doing side quests.
I do enjoy that. Did you see Ed Ogeron's new gig?
Does that have anything to do with feet? No, that's Rex Ryan. I'm sorry. No, what is it?
He's a spokesman for Roback.
Oh, is he really? That's funny.
Yeah, and they got a pretty decent commercial with him in it too. It's solid. It's fucking good. I don't know. It's fucking Coach O, but it just kind of reminds me when like Coach O went on his tour for. I still don't understand that. Like, I'm just gonna go to every program that takes me in and I'll talk to these people.
Yeah.
Like, what was that about? I still don't understand that one. Then he ended up, I had a row back. Most comfortable gear ever.
Didn't they? Now that you said row back, I feel like, was this known? Did I see a commercial with him in it?
I'm telling you, he's in a commercial. Yeah, he's in a commercial for row back.
Right, but like, was it something around the Super Bowl or something? I feel like, or the national championship? I feel like I saw him in something months ago.
It might have been maybe in one of the NCAA games. Tournament games, maybe? I don't know.
That's
which
wild.
Is great. I mean, I freaking love Roback. Like that company is fantastic. Which, hey, they're not a sponsor, although I should ask them if they would be. Like the customer service level they got going on there is like incredible. Because I had a couple of issues with them, and they fucking didn't bat an eyelash. Like, instantly taken care of, no sweat. My God. I love their quarter zips. Anyways, and they got some rocking cool polos. Although I can't wear the Ohio polo that I want because it's got the gray and white stripe on the back, and that's just too tattletale.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They should have the Ohio flag back there. Like, they'll do it for some polos. They kind of have like an American flag polo, you know, that back tack thing they got going on.
Yeah, of course.
Like, they should do the Ohio flag on that one, not the gray and white stripe that makes it all about Ohio State on that one. That's disappointing.
That's rude.
That's disappointing. Because I would wear the shit out of an Ohio polo. I'd wear the fuck out of it. I got the one that's got the clubs, spades, hearts, and diamonds for Hicksville games. My wife is, like, embarrassed to the fucking max. That's sitting there in my closet. Aww. What's that?
Why?
Oh, she's like, that's too much. That's too much. And I'm like, this is fucking great. She's like, you're gonna look like a clown. I'm like, bullshit. This is fucking slick.
Aww.
Like, this is gonna look fucking great.
John Daly was out there wearing some wild shit. Like, I think you're gonna be okay, right?
Well, she was saying someone's gonna think you're a compulsive gambler. She's all self-conscious now because I put a set of Aces cards on the vehicles, like a little thing on the back windows. And so, like, when we drove down to Florida, she's like, everyone's going to think that we're, you know, these big gamblers, this and that. And I'm thinking, well.
Did your wife realize that there's people that put i.e. ass on their back window? Like,
we're driving a Honda Pilot. No one's looking at me like I think I'm a fucking card shark.
You know, you got Diddy all locked up in his home drinking Hennessy, waiting for the sword to drop, right? Like, I think there's people who are more fucked up than us in this world.
Is Diddy in South Africa right now? Is that where he?
No, I think Diddy's in Miami, right?
They got him.
I think Diddy's just in his compound, just hanging out, right?
Oh, I thought he fled. I thought he was like in South Africa.
No, I don't think he's. I think everyone around him is falling down, but I don't think yet, besides his home's being raided, I don't think he's actually been charged with anything, right?
Allegations. Diddy's daughters hang out with LeBron James' son amid investigation. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. He wasn't drinking Hennessy. He was drinking a glass of wine as legal troubles continue to build 10 hours ago.
Okay.
God forbid I named the wrong product Diddy was enjoying.
Yeah, I was under the assumption that he was in South Africa. I swear I saw that somewhere. He's just chilling. And I just... extradition? Okay. All right.
Good times. Good
but time. Syracuse basketball is involved, though, so.
That's right. That's right.
New York's.
It all comes New back York's to Syracuse team. Basketball.
It does in a lot of ways. It does.
I wonder what Jimmy Boeheim's doing these days. Hopefully not killing anybody.
Oh, shit. I don't know.
College hoops fans crushed Jim Boeheim for miserable rant during NC State Louisville game. I mean, that's so on brand. It's not even funny. He was mad about something in an ACC game. Like, that's literally like a Tuesday for Jim Boeheim.
No shit. Remember when he yelled at that fucking student reporter?
Yeah.
Sure. Like, you knew, like, dude, it's time to retire. Like, you start taking it out of the student reporter. You've done enough.
Did you see any good April Fool's jokes? Did you see anything that actually like that caught you for a half second before you were like, ah, it's April Fool's. Never mind.
You know, I did. I don't know if I thought it was good or not, but it got me. And now I can't even remember what the hell it is. But yeah, I got for half a second. I hit the Google machine up real fast. I can't remember what the hell that was. I don't know. It's been light lately. Like, someone got hammered pretty hard. Like, didn't overtime? Like, I don't know if Malik Zaire is still with them or not, but they did something that caused a huge shitstorm.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
It was about Clark being ruled out of a game, wasn't it?
Yeah, about her being injured or sick or something.
Yeah, like a shoulder thing or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's what it was. No, I gave you guys a screenshot of the Beth email, my boss. And we get that email every single year since the internet became unfun.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, I work in, as people know, I work in elections, right? Like, there are places where you can make April Fool's jokes, and there's places where you're just causing yourself pain for doing that. I would never make a joke in my professional capacity because just people are fucking lunatics these days, right? In terms of election stuff. Having said that, I don't think that the overtime joke wasn't in particularly good taste either, because it's not funny. Like, I like the April Fools that are pranks, but are not like, you're not going after it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like the stuff that makes fun of itself more so than the stuff that like saying somebody's injured for a game. Oh, man, that's not that funny.
Especially like the player in the tournament. Like, it's not.
And for overtime and that news, like, that's like Barstool breaking that news. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Like, you have a million followers on Twitter. Like, that's a bad look. It's a bad look. Like, then that shows you're not creative enough to, if you want to do an April Fool's Day joke, then do one, but it better be creative enough. I don't know. Just to make up something that's completely wrong. It's like if CNN was trying to fucking run an April Fool's Day joke and they said Bill Clinton died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
I like the stuff that I wish I'd remembered the one that got me for 20 seconds the other day before I was like, oh man, is it? Never mind. Because I was like, oh, and I do exactly what you do. Right. First of all, I don't do this just on April 1st. I do this for everything. If something sounds like it isn't true, I immediately go to the interwebs.
Like, if it don't smell right, you gotta check up on it.
Oh,
I've been burned on that before too many times.
one of the things that I couldn't do with you guys in the group chat, because you all live to the west of me, is the earthquake was such big news here earlier this week, and everyone was like,
oh, the weather. That's the weather, dude.
Yeah, that is literally the weather, right?
That's the weather.
Did you feel it became the small talk of that day? Did you feel it? I'm here to say I did not feel it. I'm sorry. I feel like I let people down by admitting I did not feel it.
You know what's funny is that I remember it was Easter weekend. I can't remember what year it was, but it was probably at least 10, 12 years ago at least. And there was a little bit of an earthquake, like a 3 years. It was a small earthquake here. Like you could, I was sitting in my dining room and could feel it. And I would just so happen to have, I had TweetDeck at the time. I just so happened to tweet something out about it. And then like, this had to be a long time ago. Cause I was like, that's when I knew like everybody's fucking here for like, talking about the same shit, like Twitter or whatnot. Because there's all these people said at the same time going, what the fuck was that? What? Like, oh yeah. So yeah, I can only imagine. I did enjoy the shit out of a lot of the videos that came out from the earthquake. The one specifically about the guy who went out the front porch and he's just like, what the fuck? Like all the neighbors are out there just going, what the fuck was that shit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I think it was in Jersey, but it's just like, it's such a cliche Jersey thing. It's right there on video. It was funny as hell. I did get fooled on a TikTok one with, cause they had all these videos of people like, I don't know who, first of all, Jude, do you have like Ring cameras inside your house?
I do not.
I don't understand people that do that. Like I have a hard time having one outside my house, but there's no way in shit I want one to record. Many people do, because that was what a lot of these videos I was watching was people's like reaction inside their homes while this thing happened. And then they, you know, they went to got the video from their thing and then uploaded all that. But this, I did get got on TikTok with a guy had, it looked like it was going to be another one of those videos. And then he rolled right into some funny shit after that. That got me, but I don't understand people having all these cameras inside their house.
Have you seen the trend on, I think it's Instagram, but maybe they're doing it on TikTok too, where it's like, you won't believe this, lightning hits plane twice.
Oh, it's got Lightning McQueen flying across the screen.
The first time that happened to me, I was like, oh, that's good. And then the 14th time I was like, oh, come on, bro. Come on.
Yeah, but it's like, it took a few times. Like, it took maybe 3 or 4 times lightning, blah, 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 like, oh, there he goes. Shit.
So here's my deal about Ring cameras inside house, right? The only time I've ever thought about, wow, it'd be great to have a camera with a playback feature is when my kids are fighting with each other and I could just roll the tape because I wasn't there.
Roll the tape.
You know?
Yeah.
He hit me, blah, 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 blah. You know, like just, yeah, let's roll the tape. Let's see who's,
we
let's
literally see who's did a not,
fucking liar.
We literally almost did not have a podcast tonight because of that.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. There's shit went down like 2 minutes before like 10:13 tonight, June. Shit was still going down. But yeah, I don't get it. Like my daughter has to babysit for some kids next weekend and they have cameras in their house. I just find that weird. I don't know, man. I like my privacy. Like, I don't even want my wife to know what I'm doing. Like, she's not. Oh, but I don't mean that like in a bad way. Just like, I don't need her to like pull up her phone and see me laying on the couch pulling down a bag of chips and sour cream dip.
Just like when that time you got caught on the surveillance at the grocery store because you didn't pay. Yeah.
That was because you had to push 8 buttons and I didn't push the last one, for God's sakes. Fucking, how many buttons I've got to push? Take my goddamn money.
By the way, Ring is also the company that was allowing police officers to request users' doorbell footage, right? So
yeah,
they're I don't know. That feels a little like Big Brother.
Like we're all carrying around tracking devices with our phones anyways, but yeah. I mean, they're not getting full on video. you know, of me cleaning up the house.
You know who the greatest beneficiary of Ring cameras is? The absolute greatest beneficiary. America's Funny Some Videos. 100%. Like, America's Funny, the quality of America's
good
Funny
shit.
Home videos has gone up so much in the everyone has a camera at all times era, because so much more is getting captured on video that is a passive video, right? It's like a buddy of mine was working in his garage and a deer ran through his garage. There wasn't an America's Funniest Video. He just posted on Facebook. And it was just like this wild ass moment where, like, the deer, I don't know if it got confused or whatever, but like it came in, realized quickly that it was in an enclosed space, freaked out a little bit.
Maybe it's something about deer. I was just going to bring up one I just saw yesterday of a deer who fucking was flying like Superman. Like, all of a sudden, off screen, here comes a flying deer who jumped over one car and almost all the way across the driveway, but smoked the side of a fucking pickup truck. And then just kept going. Like, this deer looked like it was flying. But yeah, what the hell? So we're just catching all these deer video now. It's basically just – which, by the way, we need more hunters. I need more deer killed, Jude.
Okay.
Like, I'm not a hunter myself. Just it was not anything that we did growing up. And I have no problem with people hunting at all. Kill Bambi. You know what? In fact, kill as many Bambis as you want, because I am sick and tired of these motherfuckers in Ohio, dude. They're everywhere. I don't think there's a shortage of deer population anywhere. It is too much to be driving through anymore. Like the path, the route my wife takes to work, and my wife has clipped probably three or four deer anyways, since we've been married. And the path that she takes is nothing but deer. Like, I had to take her to work, what was it, 2 weeks ago. We're getting our car worked on, and so I just would take her to work and pick her up. And it's just like, they're everywhere. I took my daughter driving just last night. She, you know, she's 15 and gets her permit in August, but I'll take her out driving to the back roads, start getting her used to it, right? And it's just, here we come up on a fucking herd of like 30 fucking deer. And I got my 15-year-old daughter who doesn't have her permit coming up. Like, God damn it. Like, so would someone just kill these things? Like, get them out. Like, they're tasty. Like, it's not a waste. Like, deer meat is what people want. Like, venison's good. I don't know. We need to get rid of those deer populations. Like, cut them in half. Immediately.
Yeah.
Tired of them clipping us.
That's my number one thing about now I'm commuting 150 miles twice a week is I'm nervous about the deer. I've had a knock on wood. I've had a really good track record with deer. I've only had one close call. I've actually never interacted with a deer. But the other day I was driving on one of those roads where actually it was one of the roads where like the Amish farms are. And this deer just comes out of the like a big clearing and starts running alongside my car. And I'm like, what the fuck do I do with this? Like, do I slow down? Is he going to turn back? And thankfully he turned – or she, I don't know, turned back.
They're dicks.
Yeah.
They're dicks.
I was like –
but now imagine that problem, but with moose.
Oh, God, no.
Because, like, what's a moose? Like
10 times
like
more.
Like, five deer? Like, a moose is, like, what, five times the size of a deer? Maybe more?
Yeah.
Moose are fucking big. And anytime I see a video of like car versus moose, it is a total fucking train wreck. It is not good. I couldn't imagine going through that. Anyways, I'm sitting here complaining about deer and there's some fucking schmuck in Maine going, what about the fucking moose?
That's very, Letterkenny of you, right?
Yeah, which my favorite. Well, they would be in favor of the moose living, like the Canadian goose scene, which is like maybe my favorite fucking scene of all time. Those are Canada's gooses. Anyways,
have we exhausted our topics yet? Have we had our max fun without Brendan?
I I guess, like,
because when the triumvirate finally gets together in the same room, and it's been a couple weeks here, tease what you'd like to talk about, because I think it's fun.
Oh, we're talking about Applebee's, goddamn it! Okay. we actually got a double feature planned. Where number one, we need to pick restaurants that go with Notre Dame's coaching staff. Right? Abby called us out on that. I thought we did that, but maybe we didn't. She called us out. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna trust the listener rather than my memory, which is shit anyways. But also, I came across a fantastic TikTok of a woman going through all these restaurants, and they're basically just all Applebee's, but just different versions of Applebee's.
Right.
So as a teaser, Jude, because you brought up Syracuse, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the Applebee's, there's Under the Sea Applebee's, there's Chinese Applebee's, Italian Applebee's, which was Olive Garden, right? On her thing, she showed up Olive Garden, she said Italian Applebee's, which is entirely accurate. So I want to find which college program fits all these different versions of Applebee's. Like what's the dumb jock Applebee's? What's the strip club Applebee's? What's the hamburger Applebee's? We're going to find out all these college football programs as well the next time the three of us get together. But since you brought up Syracuse, because it's Italian and Olive Garden, I gave it a little bit of thought of which college football program would I say is Italian Applebee's, and I came down to three programs, and then I'm down to two. So I started off with Rutgers, Syracuse, and Penn State.
Okay.
I tossed Rutgers aside, and now I'm just down to Penn State and Syracuse.
Can you explain to me a little bit what your thinking is in terms of criteria?
I mean, you got a lot of Italian players. I don't know. like Penn State, I don't know, but maybe it's because of Paterno. I mean, Penn State just has always had a lot of Italian guys on their team, probably because of proximity, to where they are, in Philadelphia and New York and all in that general area, New Jersey, that general area. But yet, Syracuse has had some Italian quarterbacks. And then Saka. I don't know. I was trying to narrow that out. I just threw Rutgers aside because it just felt too cliche. So I got rid of that nonsense, and it came down to Syracuse and Penn State as the Italian Applebee's.
Huh.
And I'm right there with Penn State, I think. Although my heart wants to go with Syracuse just because it seems funnier because of DeVito and all that shit.
Right.
that's where I'm at. So I don't know. But we're going to have a whole episode of this shit.
I'm looking at a list of all NFL players born in Italy. You want to guess who the fourth person on this list is? You'll never guess. We'll fucking yeet. Will Yeatman, born in Naples.
Naples, Italy, or Naples, Florida?
No, Naples, Italy.
Will Yeatman was born over there?
That's what this says.
Get the fuck out of here.
Because, all the other names are Giorgio, Tecavicio, Eduardo, Massimo, Sandro, Bruno, Inigo. Gaziano, right?
I mean, he was. I mean, it sure does. It says fucking Naples, Italy, doesn't it?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
His father played lacrosse for the United States Naval Academy and retired as a commander after 20 years of naval service. So maybe they were just like, I don't know. sounds very Alan Dulles like to me.
The guy who played the most NFL games and was born in Italy was a fella named Leo Nomolini, who played college football at Minnesota.
Hey, that's another thing I was going to I'd be kicking around in my brain. Like that, there's a TikTok trend going on right now of how to pronounce certain things. Like okay. how an Italian says it and how an Italian American says it. Okay. And there's massive differences, right? And it's in line with what I've been trying to say for fucking years.
Like regat? Like,
right. Like a lot like that. But like just because it's Italian American, like Northeast culture, does that mean I don't know how I want to word this. Like the farther away from the East Coast you get with Italians, like guys that were like families that came right off the fucking boat, like
sure.
First, second generations, right?
Yeah.
The more in line with the old country are you than the one, because that's that own group. But at the same time, it's competing ideas here, because at the same time, the farther you get away from those areas, the more they had to adapt to life around them. So like Italian Americans in New York, like some Thanksgivings, you know, it's not a turkey time, all that, right? But like, so like my family, like my grandparents off the boat, like living in Fort Wayne, Indiana, like there's a decent amount going on there, but it's not like it's New York City or going up and down in New Jersey and all that, or up into Hartford, Connecticut, and all that. So it's just like a different feel, right? So like, people try to say what's authentic and what's not. It's hard to say what's actually Italian American or what's Italian, and getting somebody that's like from the outside to understand which one of those is. I don't know. It's complicated. It's a complicated thought process I got going on, but I've been thinking a lot about it.
Sounds like you've been thinking a lot about it.
I think a lot about it, but when I ran across, this was before I ran across that video, but then I came across that video where they're pronouncing things totally different. And it's just like, I remember once getting corrected for saying something. I can't remember what it was, but it was in college and someone had corrected me about saying something. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, that's how you say it. It's this. I'm like, all right. You know what? I didn't really even think twice of it at the time, but it stayed with me. Like I thought about it a lot over the time. I'm like, how Italian am I? You know, I'm thinking like, am I even pronouncing shit right? So it all makes fucking sense. But yeah, the farther away from that cultural base on the East Coast that you get, like the closer the first, second generation that go out that way, the more from the old world is what you're probably getting rather than incorporated into what those communities are themselves. I mean, I feel like I could do a fucking doctorate on it if I could explain it.
I think it's a real humbling experience when somebody corrects you. The longer you go in life without having said a word correctly, and then somebody corrects you, it like shakes your worldview. You're just like, am I pronouncing any word correctly? Right?
Right. Well, I mean, in college, I think it happens a lot because people are coming from different, parts of the country. So you kind of like, not like you're corrected, but you kind of get jabbed a little bit for like you say something one way or another, or they say something one way or another is one thing. But I'm telling you, getting corrected by another Italian about how to say an Italian word or something like that, when I've been saying it this way my entire life, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I was ready to fight in my mind, like the fucking balls on this fucking guy. But it's like, all right, like I get, like you get it now. Like it's a totally different, it's just totally different. So if you think you're getting like old world fucking culture from Little Italy in New York City, that's not exactly right. It's not entirely accurate.
Right.
I don't know. And this all goes, I'm ran on this shit, but it all goes in line with like what I've been saying, you know, about when people say you can't get good Mexican food in Indiana because you're so far away from Mexico. Just total fucking bullshit.
That's not true.
Well, exactly. It's not true. But people fucking believe that, like, because you're in a certain area, you can't get an authentic taste of something from somewhere else. Like, we're not living in 2024 and planes haven't been invented. You know what I mean? like there's been no migration.
Right.
Like, except for maybe a few miles away from the border. Like, none of that's fucking true. Like, in Hicksville, Ohio, there's people that can't speak English at all that make fucking tamales, and that's fucking as authentic as it gets. Their shit's fucking good as hell. But just because of the Pat and Will white American Mexican joint that serves up tacos and burritos and enchiladas, just because their thing isn't authentic doesn't mean that this you can't get authentic up in this spot. Anyways, because I battle with like people from Texas to talk about, you can't get good Mexican food up there. How can you? The fuck you mean? Like, trains were invented in the 1800s. People can move, man.
The human
population's been fucking migrating for like, 15,000 years? More than that, probably. Like, this shit happens. I can get to fucking Hawaii 9 hours.
I mean, Taylor Swift made it back for the Super Bowl in like 15 minutes.
She did. And that's, dude, I don't think people understand how tough that is. She was in Australia, wasn't she?
Japan.
Oh, Japan. Okay. Well, never mind. I thought Australia is a tough fucking flight. Like, I don't think I'll ever go to Australia ever in my life because of just the sheer amount of time you have to be in a plane. That is like the longest plane flight.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're definitely not doing an overnight. You're definitely going to make a couple weeks out of it, right?
No, yeah, yeah. No, we talked. Yeah, that's right, because we talked about Taylor Swift and President Bartlett.
Yes, exactly. How she was she was reintroducing West Wing clips, which we appreciated.
I had a West Wingism that I was going to spring on you guys if we brought something up, and I can't even remember what the hell it was. Oh, now I know what it was. So I'm just going to inject this in because I had thought about it. So now I can let it leave my brain. So when we were talking about the Super League, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had meant to bitch about Facebook users once again, which is one of my guilty pleasures. You know, Facebook commenters are just, it's too much. But this one guy went on a rant about how Notre Dame will never do this. You know, everybody else can go do this, but Notre Dame's a leader and they go do this and all that. What are they leading?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Like what are they leading? And then I was going to say, it reminds me of former vice president.
Josiah Bartlett.
No, former vice president.
Oh, vice president. Santos.
No, vice president.
Vice president.
Dingo Bob saying, you know what they call a leader with no followers? Just a guy taking on a walk.
That's right.
So I had planned that for 2 days, Jude, to throw that little bit in there. Now look at us. We got thrown off because Brendan's mulch game threw me way off. Oh, shit. So, yeah, that's probably it. I mean, we made a podcast episode.
We did the thing. And you know what? I'm looking forward to getting the triumvirate back because it's been too long. So I'm hoping Brendan can join us, and I'm hoping that I don't injure myself in some catastrophic way or have something work related come up. But I look forward to it.
Yeah, I really want to start. This is on me more than you or Brendan or anybody else. I'm ready to start focusing on next season. I bitched about the schedule enough.
Right.
And I will continue to do so. I'm sure at times I'll go on a rant because of how obviously terrible it is. but it's time to start kind of looking ahead. Because number one, we got a 12-team playoff now. So that changes things quite a bit. And then number two, we got to go through how this is going to work. What's going to happen? What changes are Florida State still hangs there like a drum. Like I'm still kind of poking around, trying to figure out what Florida State's going to be like next year. Looking for those surprises on the schedule, because on paper it's terrible, but at the end of the day, maybe it won't be as bad because we've had a few surprises. That's hard to do when you have two MAC schools and two service academies, but we're going to do our, I'm going to do my best to go into it with a little bit more of a professional mind rather than a raging alcoholic that just can't believe he's watching this bullshit. But yeah, I'm ready to start getting into some more of that. And Applebee's talk.
Sounds good to me. I'll be here.
Shit. All right. So reminder to everybody, get on over to Apple Podcasts, leave that rating, leave a review. Any review that you leave, we will reward for word on the next Earn 5-Star podcast. Did you have any last thoughts tonight? Do you have anything left in the tank?
No, just everybody be good to each other and take care of each other. And if you're not in the path of totality, then I honestly don't know what you're going to be missing. I saw it in 2017 and did not find it at all remarkable, but apparently I'm supposed to find it remarkable. So I will be out there with my glasses on at 3:00 tomorrow and watching.
Are you in the path?
In Watertown, they are. Albany, they are not. So I'm thankfully in Watertown tomorrow. So I will be in the path. In fact, I'm so in the path that I don't know. Some guy from the Weather Channel said if he was looking for the cleanest look at the solar eclipse, he would pick a place like Watertown, New York. So there you go. Mm. We're expecting a couple people. So
yeah, I saw it. There was a.
I feel like 318 their time window or something, 318 to 324 or something, some shit like that. I don't know. So
I saw a heat map. This is interesting as hell to me of hotel rooms booked and VR and VRBO room, rooms and rentals booked like 3 days prior to the eclipse, it's just showing what it's there. And then the night, today, the night we're recording, the day before the eclipse, the bookings, and it is one massive red swipe across the path of totality. It is incredible.
Wow.
To see all this stuff booked up, and it is the path. It's incredible. All these people coming to there, but we're in the path. So I have not seen any stragglers yet in our town. You're not welcome here. But I do know there's a lot of prep being Toledo. I know has the Coast Guard on alert out in the, out in Lake Erie and all that. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of preparations being made for the sheer amount of people that'll be in that path to get a glimpse of, what's going down. I'm still having Little League practice tomorrow at 4:30. So don't really care what's going on with the eclipse, but make sure your kid's down there ready to go. It's for schools are letting out 2 hours early. I think maybe a month ago, it was the first notice they had sent. And my wife and I, we kind of rolled our eyes about it, you know? And they just keep hammering it about it. And I finally was like, she's like, well, fuck it. She's like, they don't need to go to school at all. She's like, this is dumb. I'm like, you know what? You're right. So we're not sending our school. Not for any reason other than you don't want to have school because of this, then they're not going to school at all. Fuck it. Like, I don't have to get up and take them to school tomorrow.
Love it.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like we start in the putt and we're in the path, and it looks like it starts at like 3:22 and we get like, what is it, 3 minutes and 30 seconds before we're completely out of it. So yeah, like 3:26. So if you're looking to find me tomorrow between 3:22 and 3:26, I'm not picking up your phone call. I'm telling you that right now.
Maybe you can't even get a phone call.
No, maybe the power's out. I don't know.
Like, the problem with this eclipse isn't even the eclipse. It's the fucking nutballs out there talking about the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And the signs from God and all that. But I got a good one for you.
Okay.
So right now there is an asteroid. Do you know about the asteroid Apophis or Apophis or whatever it is?
No.
Yeah. Hey, you can Google search this one. So, and I think my facts are right on this. So there's this asteroid on its way to the area of Earth, and it should be here on April 13th, which is a Friday, by the way,
okay,
of 2025, I believe. And as of right now, I think they think it's still only going to be like it's going to miss Earth by like 17,000 miles, which is incredibly fucking close, by the way. There are satellites that are like 25,000 miles above Earth's surface, right? So it's supposed to come around 17,000 miles of Earth. But it's supposed to, they're planning on it missing us, which is a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the bad thing, June. Here's the bad thing. There is a like 600 or 6,000 mile, I know it's a big difference, but there's a window that if this asteroid goes in this space, the certain window of space outside of Earth, that Earth's gravity will affect it enough where on its orbit, on its return trip, 7 years later, it's going to smoke us.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, or what was it?
This feels like a movie they would have put direct to Netflix starring Jennifer Lawrence, Jonah Hill, and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, so we made it. I mean, so I mentioned that because there's all this dumbass talk about, I mean, this is from coming from the real tinfoil hat, like, idiots, you know, about, oh, this is prep for the, like the Earth hasn't seen fucking eclipse ever, and it's, like, come on, let's get real. But just the fact, I don't know. I mentioned this because it just, I brought that up to somebody and they took off and ran with it, like talking about the tribulation and all this shit. And if people know that, it's going to be chaos. And maybe he's right. Like, if people know, like, oh, the asteroid hit that spot and it's destined to come hit us in 7 years or whatever, maybe it is going to be 7 years of fucking craziness because, you know, the world's going to end.
Absolutely.
So I think about that. I've been thinking about that a lot today.
I watched like 6 episodes of The Leftovers and was really enjoying it and then got distracted. So I should really go back to that.
how many years was that? Looking back? Is that the one where they come back to Earth?
No, The Leftovers is when there's, if I remember correctly, it's there's, they were, people just disappeared.
Oh, the rapture.
And so there was like a, the story was about the people that were left behind, right? So this, oh, it was called a sudden departure. And like,
you're giving PTSD to every person that grew up with an evangelical family.
5% of people left, but like it caused this ripple effect where basically there was this whole like religion that came up around the what the departure meant. And there was people that thought that their loved ones were coming back at some point. And then there was people that were, so they were finding it hard to move on. And then there was people that had moved on. So anyways, I hear it gets a lot better in the second and third seasons. And I did really like it. The problem is I don't have a lot of time to watch television because I'm watching a lot of sports. So
Jude, do you find it strange that Will Yeatman at Notre Dame? Well, no. I mean that makes sense. His dad was whatever. No, in 2007, when he played lacrosse for Notre Dame, he had 46 points, 21 goals, and 25 assists in 15 games. But then his final two seasons of lacrosse at Maryland, where he played 17 and 16 games, he only had 28 and 22 points. Like, his best year was his freshman year.
Yeah. Peaked.
Same amount of games. I mean, he played more games, each of those seasons with Maryland.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Should have stayed. Will?
Didn't they ask Will to leave?
Yeah, that's true. Will was asked to leave, right? He was one of the, am I mixing my tight ends? No, he was asked to leave, right?
Yeah, he thought he was born free, right? Like, he could just, he tried to be Ricky Waters on campus rather than Ricky Waters in the dorms.
Yeah.
And butt ass naked. Oops. Well, the other tight end was you're thinking of as Fourier.
Yeah,
Fourier. What's a UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, the only transfers we're talking about that did anything was a couple. Like, I think Shaq Evans had a decent year with UCLA too. Like, Fourier and Shaq Evans. Other than that, really won't find too many Notre Dame transfers that did anything. Just saying.
Right. Agreed.
All right, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Let's just drag it on. So that's it. I'm glad you enjoyed this wildly topical episode. For Jude, for Mulchy Brendan, and for everybody over at One Foot Down.
Mulchy Brendan.
Thanks. I was petrified that he put it down too early. I see. As soon as he said he put down mulch, I'm thinking, like, all I can think about is you must not have any maple trees. Because if you put mulch down right now, like in our area, you're smoked. Like, that mulch is smoked with nothing but helicopters. Mm-hmm. Like, you're fucked. Like, it's easier to, like, just let them lay and then mulch over them, and then you can pull them all out as you go on. But I'm like, you do not want to lay mulch and then, like, a couple days later, like, all the fucking helicopters come falling out. I always wait for that. But he says his neighborhood is just Bradford Pears. So that makes
sense. Nice. Must be nice to live in such a swanky place.
Swanky. Swanky. That's right. That's what I thought. He didn't have what I had, and fucking we had a maple tree falling apart down here. So they came and chopped it down on the mornings that I was trying to sleep, Jude. Two mornings in a row.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Just chainsaw right in my fucking ear all morning long. It was lovely. Anyways, I already said thanks for listening. We're out of here. Go Irish.